How do you do? What compels people to risk their lives for others? To leave the comfort of home, the loving presence of family and familiar things, to go to a far-off land where they face hardship and disease, and even hostility? For the couple in this story, the decision was imperative because their hearts and minds and lives were unshackled.
Mark says we're in a typhoon.
We're too far north for typhoons, Margaret.
Oh, whatever it is, it's scary, Joe. The captain hasn't left the bridge except for meals.
Last night was pretty bad.
Well, the boys think it's fun, seeing everything tossed around.
No point in trying to clean up until the storm ends.
Well, you learned that the hard way last night.
Yes. I tried to pick up the drawers that flew out of the dresser and have a smashed hand for my efforts. I'm staying in the bunk.
I looked out the porthole once, and the ship was leaning so far on its side, our railing touched the water.
I saw a couple of waves as high as the mast.
Oh, this is worse than the last storm, Joe. What's it going to be like when we're off the Aleutians?
Sharing the bread of life, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Many people try to ignore the homeless, but not the folks at Pacific Garden Mission. They know that whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Since 1877, the mission has been a refuge in downtown Chicago for despairing souls. Today, the old lighthouse offers nourishing meals, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep to hundreds of men, women, and children each day. Even medical and dental care is offered in the Mission Clinic, all without charge. Mission pastors and counselors share the good news that can transform their lives. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3250 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Captain's orders. Everyone get to dinner table quick as possible. Eat and then go back to cabin and secure. We are going to roll tonight.
Roll tonight? What do you call what we've been doing since noon? We haven't been able to get around all day. That chair fell so hard it broke.
We may have to change course. Very bad storm ahead.
How does anyone endure the prospect of sinking at sea? The couple in our story had courage because they had purpose. This is the true testimony of Joseph and Margaret Miko, right now on Unshackled.
I was 16 when I met Joe at a Bible study that one of my high school teachers taught. He gave me a Bible, something I had never touched, and told me he was going into Christian ministry. I began secretly reading scripture, even though I knew my family would not approve. After I went to a Christian youth camp and received Christ as my Savior, Joe and I began dating. What nationality is the name Miko?
Hungarian. The oldest son of the oldest son carries the family name, so I'm Joseph Miko III.
So your firstborn son will be Joseph IV?
Yes. My grandparents emigrated here from Hungary and settled in the Midwest. But Dad's accent caused ridicule from schoolmates, so they moved west when he grew up.
I'm glad he did.
Me too. What about your family?
Well, my parents are both English and Danish. Dad's a fireman for the city of San Francisco.
Mine's a businessman, but I don't want to follow in his footsteps.
What do you want to do, Joe?
Share God's love. That's why I'm in divinity school.
Neither of us dated anyone else, and we married. Joe finished seminary while I worked secretarial jobs. Our first son, Joseph Miko IV, was born in 1941, a few months before the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Joe tried to join the armed forces as a chaplain, but he was deaf in one ear from a childhood infection, so he worked part-time as a welder at the shipyards. His ministry began as he planted a church for military families in San Francisco. Our second son, Paul, was born 2 years later. Both of our families lived in the area and adored our boys. Our church had grown to several hundred by the time the war ended.
Did you hear General MacArthur's speech today?
Oh, yes, it was sobering.
He's right. This is an unprecedented opportunity to share the gospel in Japan.
And maybe prevent another war.
Sharing the gospel is war. Spiritual war.
I'm praying that God will raise up missionaries.
When I was a kid, a missionary came to my Sunday school class and talked about the varieties of tangerines they have in Japan. So I've always wanted to go there.
This is your chance.
We could go, Margaret.
To Japan?
Yes.
What about the ministry here?
The need is greater in Japan.
We sold our house to buy the supplies we needed. Occupation regulations required us to bring our own food. 1 ton for each adult and 0.5 ton for each child. We also shipped our car, relief supplies like medicine and clothing, and a small trailer as a home for us there. We booked passage to Yokohama, Japan, on a Liberty Ship freighter that carried our cargo, including 2 tons of raisins and dried apples donated by Christian farmers. Both our families were at the dock to say goodbye, and our 6-year-old son cried his eyes out as we pulled away from the dock.
Only 4 other passengers on board, all businessmen.
They seem very nice.
Good thing. Too bad there are no other children for the boys to play with.
Well, they have each other.
Yes.
Did you hear Sonny as we passed under the Bay Bridge? He was afraid we'd never see it again. I assured him we would, and he said, "It'll be a long time."
Children are like God. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day.
He's still looking for his grandparents. They said they'd drive to Yacht Harbor and turn on their headlights.
There's Yacht Harbor. But it's too dark to wave a handkerchief, so I'll wave a flashlight.
Oh, look, Joe. 2 sets of headlights pointing out to sea. Look, boys, it's your grandparents. From the Golden Gate, we went straight out to sea, steered north, and were on our way. The next day was Thanksgiving, but the ship began pitching, and we were nauseated, except for our 4-year-old Paul. By the second day, we had adjusted. We had a lifeboat drill in pouring rain, and I shuddered to think of riding the waves in such a tiny boat. The third day was calm and sunny, so I walked on deck and chatted with one of the ship's officers.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Yes. What are those big dark birds that keep following us?
Those are the sooty albatross. They'll follow us all the way to our destination.
Seriously?
Yes, they never land on the ship. They scavenge the garbage and marine life the propeller stirs up.
I've seen them soaring past the ship without even flapping their wings.
They're amazing flyers, 40 miles an hour against the wind. During the war, improvements were made to airplanes by watching those birds.
God is an awesome creator.
Yes, this ship is worth $several million with a large crew and thousands of pounds of supplies to get us where we're going. While those birds start with nothing but the feathers on their backs, they fly all the way without resting, and arrive in at least as good a shape as we do.
Joe spent most of his time studying Japanese, while I spent my time with our boys, or chatting with other passengers. One clear and calm night, I went for a walk on deck. The sea and sky were black, and the stars were brilliant, filling the horizon in all directions. Afterward, I went to bed and read my Bible. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God knew what was coming the next night as I read Psalm 107, which is about the Lord's providence even during storms at sea when they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. During the night, the storm woke me up. The ship felt as if it was standing first on its bow, then on the stern. I lay there trembling and pondered the scriptures I had read. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Lord, into your hands I commit the ship, the cargo, and our lives. Sunday morning finally dawned, dark with storm. We staggered to breakfast, where many things landed on our laps or on the deck. Later, Joe conducted a worship service. The captain and two more officers joined us.
Again and again, the Bible says, "Fear not." In Isaiah chapter 41, God says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That right hand of righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows."
Mid-afternoon, the storm stopped suddenly. The birds were still flying along behind us. We talked with the captain.
"That was a real storm. We had winds of 70 miles an hour last night."
"That's okay with me if we don't have any more like that."
"Oh, we'll probably see some more, but we're only going about 100 miles farther north before we straighten out on the last leg of the Great Circle Route to Japan."
"Everything was thrown around in our cabin. It makes me wonder about our cargo."
"It's secure. We have 6 million pounds of food."
6 million pounds?
"Japan needs food. We have 75,000 pounds of butter and 320,000 pounds of eggs, and we're only 3/5 full. We could carry more."
"You certainly brought us through that storm."
"I skippered many ships during the war. I was attacked hundreds of times at Leyte and Mindoro. A kamikaze even hit us once. So you're in good hands."
"We are indeed, the Lord's and yours."
During the war, the captain had received medals for his handling of ships and men. But another big storm was on the way. Our oldest boy, Sonny, inquired, "Jesus knows where we are, doesn't he, Mama?" The storm on December 3rd was bad. I spent the night in prayer. In the morning, the cabin boy came by to see us.
"You need anything?"
"Oh, no, thank you. The boys are doing fine."
"I have 2 children in Philippines, a boy 4 and a girl 2 years old.
"Oh, so your son was born during the war."
"Oh, yes. My family had to flee because Japanese kill anyone left behind. Cut them to pieces. Men, women, children, make no difference."
"We've heard about the acts of the soldiers."
"They take my sister, and when they are finished with her, they bayonet her to death."
"I am so sorry, Mark."
"When not at war, they are nice people, polite and honest."
"Only the Lord can fill their hearts with love for others when they become Christians. Jesus said, 'Love one another as I have loved you.'"
"Yes."
"God says in Ezekiel chapter 36, 'A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh.' That is why we're going to Japan."
Shortly, we'll hear more about this family's harrowing journey. Unshackled is translated by Nationals and redramatized in their language for listeners throughout Europe. Polish, Russian, Albanian, and Romanian are some of these languages. And listeners there have responded with letters and email, like this person in Romania who wrote, "I could say that Unshackled has revolutionized my life." A listener wrote to the radio station in Albania saying, "Unshackled is one of my favorite radio programs." Another person wrote, "In our culture, these are called family matters, and they almost never go out of the house. Unshackled is helping break up the chains of violence in the Albanian family." From Tirana, Albania, someone wrote, "Two of my neighbors are coming now to church after listening to the transformed life stories on Unshackled. To learn more about this ministry to European countries, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
The storm on December 4th was the worst one of all. Mountainous waves and wind were whipping their spray high over the ship. Joe fell, crashing into the table and chairs he had lashed together. He hurt his shoulder, hip, and foot pretty badly. In the morning, Joe was too tired to get dressed, so I took the boys down to breakfast. The captain talked with me.
Last night, the barometer dropped 6 degrees in 4 hours, and the winds reached 100 miles an hour.
I prayed all night.
We have to steer the ship to meet each wave so the ship doesn't break up. We keep engine power up, but with no speed. Then, as each wave comes, we steer, not directly into it and not broadside, but at an angle.
We're not making much progress, are we?
158 miles in the last 2 days. Mrs. Miko, early this morning, I saw the biggest wave I've ever seen in all my years at sea. It was 60 feet high. And we went right over the top without taking a drop on board.
The Lord was answering my prayers. God gave me courage to not reveal how I felt. So the captain always told me the truth about our situation. Another storm hit us December 7th, with winds so strong, the rain blew horizontally. Whenever the weather was calm, the ship went full speed ahead. December 12th arrived.
Look, another ship on the horizon.
We're getting close now. Is someone going to meet us?
I radioed ahead saying we'd arrive today, so someone should be there.
Look, land, land in the distance.
The coast of Japan. Praise God!
We sailed into Yokohama Harbor, passing sunken ships and burned-out buildings on shore. And as the ship docked, we saw our greeting party waving to us. A telegram greeted us, too. During our 2 weeks at sea, Joe's father had died of a heart attack. Because it was late, we stayed aboard ship that night, and after breakfast, we piled into cars with our missionary friends.
As you can see, Yokohama was destroyed, burned out in 2 hours.
So many buildings, all gutted.
It's no longer a city, just a farming community again.
Is there telephone service?
Yes, but it takes about 4 hours to get a call through.
The cable about Grandpa's death wasn't very clear, but we think it was my father who died.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
At least he knew the Lord.
It's cold here, and the men aren't dressed very warmly.
Everything is in short supply. Food, medicine, clothing.
I noticed they have patches on their patches.
We brought lots of clothing for them. We wrapped all their supplies in clothing to give away.
That's an answer to prayer.
Why does everyone wear masks over their face?
Because so many people have tuberculosis. Be careful.
We came here to share Jesus. He'll protect us.
Over there is General MacArthur's headquarters and the grounds of the Imperial Palace. It's open on New Year's.
Where are we going to live until our trailer's offloaded?
With a missionary who has a large home.
A week later, we were settled in our little trailer, parked in front of the missionary's house. We built a storehouse for the 30 tons of supplies we brought and went to the Army's twice-a-week language class. Christmas came and 40 Japanese gathered for supper, celebrating the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Afterward, Joe and I marveled at being there.
What a gathering that was. To hear the Japanese children reading scripture, it was wonderful.
Yes, I actually understand more Japanese now.
We have more opportunities to practice.
I may understand more, but speaking is not easy. By the time I think what I want to say and then rethink my thoughts in reverse order for Japanese and then try to say it, I'm exhausted.
I know what you mean.
Pastor Yuya told me we should have our quarrels in Japanese. While we're looking up the words in the dictionary, the anger will fade, he said.
What quarrels?
How different their culture is from ours.
Yes, the old and the new side by side. Rickshaws and motorcycles.
I'm still not used to their custom of making social calls bright and early.
That's your cue to sing out, "Praise the Lord."
Hello, hello, Pastor Miko.
Yes, hello. Praise the Lord.
Yes, we hear you come to Japan.
Yes, this is my wife, Margaret.
So glad to meet you. We are doctors, also Christian evangelists.
All four of you? Wonderful.
Yes, yes. We have meeting on street and Bible class in our medical clinic.
Where is that?
It's Faith Hospital, bombed out church basement.
There is great need here for doctors.
Oh, yes, yes. Many people have disease from war, worms, tuberculosis.
We brought medical supplies to help. Oh, perhaps you can come to our Sunday school class and administer the medicine we brought for the worm.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Praise God. Here, let me give you two cases of penicillin that we brought from America.
Oh, we have no money to pay.
It's a gift.
Penicillin is worth fortune here.
It's a gift from the Lord, like salvation.
We visited their clinic, which was in the basement of a bombed-out church. The church stood alone in an area that once had thousands of homes. The remaining walls were full of bullet holes and the window glass had melted, leaving empty, twisted frames. The military wouldn't go into clinics without masks because 90% of Japanese people had tuberculosis then. But we didn't wear masks, which horrified the military men. Joe preached to the crowd waiting and a translator assisted him.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Son of God came to earth to save us from our sins. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
There was a continuous group of people who listened as the interpreter translated Joe's words. In that way, many people heard the gospel. Our boys wore two or three layers of clothing, but they were still freezing. When our part of the service was finished, we toured the clinic.
Patients sit on wooden benches. Small surgery over there in corner.
They operate here?
Yes, yes, small surgery.
With the wind blowing through the boarded up window frames?
Well, cannot do otherwise.
It's so damp and musty. Not easy working conditions.
There's no heat.
A hot plate to warm hands.
How many people work here?
One dentist, two doctors, four nurses, two pharmacists, four Christian workers, one evangelist. All Christian.
Well, how do the doctors sterilize their instruments?
Antiseptic, but in short supply.
We ship many cases from the U.S. and we have two for you.
Oh, thank you.
We also have iodine, aluminum chloride, calcium, and bandages for you.
Oh, praise God. We save many lives here.
Physically and spiritually.
The needs were enormous, and our resources so limited. But the rewards were great. Seeing happy children as we shared chocolate bars with them or caramel candy, hearing them sing hymns during worship. Even in freezing weather, bare hands and feet didn't keep people away from church. They sat in stark, unheated buildings with the wind blowing in broken windows. We had much to learn from our Japanese friends. The first week of January passed, and our sons still didn't have the Christmas presents I bought them the previous summer. We had received one truckload of our supplies, but still had two truckloads to go. An old man named Oji-san helped us unpack our supplies.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I made three trips to Yokohama to get our freight.
I know. I'd go with you again, but it's too hard on the children.
Our storeroom will be so full, we won't be able to get inside. But I still wish we'd brought more relief clothing.
Yes, Oji-san doesn't have mittens or an overcoat, and his sleeves are above his wrists. He looks so cold.
He's not even wearing an undershirt.
Oh, here's your old sweatshirt in this box. Let's give it to him.
Good idea. I can get more.
Oji-san, here is a shirt for you from Jesus. On January 12th, we went to the Christian Blind School in Yokohama, taking candy bars, powdered milk, and an interpreter that we didn't need because the director spoke excellent English. 30 years of Bible translation had left him blind. He told us of a hospital with 1,000 or 2,000 men without legs. After 6 months in the Tokyo area, we made preparations to move our ministry to the deep north, an area that didn't have missionaries. A widow of high status who spoke excellent English chose to go with us as interpreter.
I am Joseph and Margaret's youngest son, who wasn't yet born when they made the move north with my older brothers. They moved to Yamagata, riding a dusty steam locomotive freight train along with their automobile and supplies. No one joined them, but in their second year, the people built a church in the prefecture. When they left the north, 11 years later, there were 17 churches. My parents have gone home to the Lord. I minister to Japan also, but my wife and I moved to Oregon with two of our kids, while two of them are still in Japan. I am Andy Miko.
This is God's promise to his people, according to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Are you one of his people, listening friend? In Isaiah chapter 45, he says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Isn't it time you knew him? He knows you, every thought, every word, every fear. Turn to him now and ask Jesus to save you. There are no special words because God sees your heart. If you need counsel in making this life-changing decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. I'm so thankful for the Unshackled radio program. I love hearing how Jesus has changed other people's lives, a corporal in the Army writes. Thank you. And please remember to thank this radio station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 3250. Heard in the true story of Joe and Margaret Miko were Mary Jo Faraci, Steve Bayorgin, Brad Armacost, B.F. Hellman, and Martin Hallisey. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.